Is of course the birthday of the Baal Shem Tov and the Baal HaTanya, whose writings we've had the schus to learn. And therefore we have a very special shiur this morning. And it's my wife's birthday, yes. Yuchas Elo, Chai Elo. I'd like to give a happy birthday to Elisa Weinberg. Vihinei, Parachas. We learned in Perek Zayin that a person has to have Rachmanis on the neshama inside of himself. And by extension, to have Rachmanis on the shoresh of his neshama. To reconnect it to the makor hachayim, from which it comes. And the time that is ideal for doing this, as the Baal HaTanya mentioned, somewhat in passing, is Tikkun Chatzos, is a time that's Mesugal for Tshuva. And Kriya Shema Shalamita is a good time that's Mesugal for Tshuva. And in addition to having Rachmanis on yourself, one has to seek to crush and to destroy and to take away the Koach of the Yetzer Hara, of the Sitra Achra, through Shvira Saleh, by humbling oneself. And we do that through Cheshbon and Nefesh. So now, in Perechas, he's going to finish his presentation of Tshuva Tata, and he's going to begin to introduce us to Tshuva Ilah. We've been talking about lower level Tshuva. Lower level Tshuva means returning that hay, that letter hay that's become detached from the rest of Shem Havayah, from the rest of Hashem's name, to reattach that letter hay with the other letters. We spoke about the Melech Asur Baratim, getting the king out of the dungeon, right, taking the Shechinta Begalusa and restoring it to the palace, the many mashalim that we gave to express that idea, to reawaken the possibility of the sunlight shining into our life, like we saw yesterday, that the clouds of our Averos cause a blockage between us, a Havdalah, between us and Shemayim. So now we're going to finish that presentation of Tshuva Tata, lower level Tshuva, as represented by the latter Hay of Hashem's name, Yud Hay, Vav Hay, the lower level Hay. And we're going to begin to discuss Tshuva Ilah, the higher level Hay. Okay, the question that I guess we could pose already at this point, which will become very obvious as we proceed, is that once I've done Tshuva Tata, what more is there to do? Once I've reconnected the letter Hay to Hashem's name, once I've, so to speak, pulled the pieces together and restored the king to his palace, so what more is there to do? What could Tshuva Ilah possibly mean? If I've already returned to Hashem, and I cleaned myself up, and everything's back in its place, right? So what more can we be seeking to do? That's the question that Tshuva Ilah is going to address. And this will explain, in a very deep way, although he's not going to say this mefurash, the inyan that you find in Sifrei Chassidus, that even tzaddikim have an inyan of Tshuva. A tzaddik who doesn't do averos also has to do tshuva. Now that's I don't want to call it a novelty of Chassidus, but it's certainly an idea that Chassidus developed. What does it mean for a tzaddik who doesn't have averos to do tshuva? What's he working on? What is tshuva ilah? Okay, so let's find out. Let's finish tshuva tata, and then we come to tshuva ilah. So again, we became, hopefully, we're trying to become, like we saw in the last perek, people who are able to come to Shviras HaLev. Be'emes, true Shviras HaLev. And in that way we destroy the Sitra Achra. Shviras HaLev we defined as Marei Dechushbna, masters of Cheshbon HaNefesh. People who are mindful and fully aware of the damage that they're causing with each and every small Aveira that we do, as we saw yesterday. So now, Periches, V'inei Acharei HaMakas HaDas B'chol HaNizkol El, after we've deepened our das, we've come to master our minds, so to speak. We recognize, oi, look what I've done, look what my averes have done. Look how I'm living off of the Sitra Achra. Look how I'm dragging my mother, the Ima, the Shechina, in the dirt. Look how the king is in chains in the dungeon. Look how I've become the Melech of the Sitra Achra. Look at all the things we've been describing in the last number of days. Once I have a clarity in all of this, Yuchal Avakish Be'emes Mi'umka Deliba, then I can really ask from the depths of my heart, Kiro Rachamecha Mechei Pisha'ai. Then I can say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have Rachmanis on me. Once I have Rachmanis on myself, and I have Rachmanis on Hashem, and I'm no longer impressed by the Sitra Achra, that was Perek Zayin. Have Rachmanis on yourself, have Rachmanis on Hashem, take away the power of the kochos of tumah of the sitra achra, then the emes me umka deliba, from the depths of my being, I can truly say to Hashem, now it's your turn to have rachmanis on me. Because I get it. Now Hashem says, oh, you get it? Good. Now we can fix things. Then I can cry out, Kerov rachamecha mechei pesha'ai, Hashem, with your great mercy, now that I realize the extent of what I've done, now I turn to you, Hashem, and I say, have mercy on me and erase my sins. Ki azai tikva belibo be'emes godol harachmanos abuchinas elukus shebenafsho v'shelamalek in Yisrael. Because now you've established in your heart a true sense, a realization of the great rachmanos that one needs to have on the divine spark within himself, and it's shorash above. And when you have rachmanis, we know that there's a mirror between Shemayim v'aretz, right? The way that Kedushas Levi always quotes it, Hashem tzilcha, Hashem is your shadow, which means the way that we act below is the way that Hashem responds on high, and vice versa. The flow goes in both directions. So if we can be ma'orer this rachamim, this great deep rachamim on the depths of our essence, then we awaken in part the Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachman. Hanim Shachos Me Ratzon HaElyon Baruch Hu Hanirmos Bekutzo Shel Yud Shelamala Malim V'chinas HaShpa HaNishpas Me'osios Shem Havaya. Where are the Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachman rooted? Where is this lofty degree of Rachmanis? Where is it found, so to speak, in Hashem's name? Well, we spoke about Yod, Hey, Vav, and Hey, corresponding to the 10 spheros, but we also hinted to what? A Ratzon Elyon. A Ratzon Elyon. A supernal will that precedes everything. Before there could be letters, before there could be spheros, before there could be any expression, there's the deepest, innermost Ratzon that's encompassed by what? By that point on top of the Yod. Within a person, what do we call that? The Pintel Yid. The Pintel Yid means the point on the Yod. So the deepest part of a Jew, right, corresponding to the deepest ratzon of Kutcha Brichu, that is connected the Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachman. So when a person has such rachmanis, that he's able to be ma'orah all the way back, right, the ratzon elyon, which again he's saying here is lama lamalam v'chinas hashpa. It's higher than any hashpa. Before there's any influence, before there's any flow, before there's any expression of the letters of Shem Hashem, there's something that comes before that. The highest point of God's name, so to speak. That point on top of the Yud. V'lachein ha-Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim Menakim Kol HaPigamim. And therefore, the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, why is it our greatest tool during these days? Because the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim can erase Kol Pigamim. Can erase anything. Any Avera. Even Averas you did on purpose. Because it not only resets the clock, it redefines the whole system. It negates the whole system. It takes it back to the original Ratzon before there was any expression. That's what happens when a person is Ma'or the Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachamim. Okay? It's Rava de Ravin. It's Mamish. It's the Ratzon of Ratzons, the deepest of the deep. And therefore the Pasuk says in Parsha Shlach, No se avon va fasha. Va fasha, not pesha, fasha, vinake. Okay, this is not the same as the pasuk in Shemosh that says what? No se avon, pesha, chata, vinake. There's no chata here. He's emphasizing that if there's avon and pesha, right? If there's real heavy averos, still the Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachamim vinake. The Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachamim goes so high that it can clean anything. V'shuv ein yanika l'chitzonim v'sitra achra me'ashpoz hei tata. Then the letter hey is restored to its place. The sitra achra is completely obliterated. U'vezeh tashuv hey. Then the final letter hey returns the mekoma. L'esyachid b'yud hey vav. The last letter of Hashem's name reattaches itself to the first three letters of Hashem's name. V'dal l'lamed stands for v'dai l'meivin. And I've said enough, says the Baal Tanya, for those who understand. V'chein mamish l'mata b'nefesh elokis shuv adam. Shuv, excuse me. Shuv ein avonoseichem avdilim. Once a person has lifted himself above, right? So again, if I look at it from a lower world, an earthly perspective, The sun is trying to shine its Hashba into the world. The letters of Hashem are trying to descend. The Hashba of Hashem of Elokus is trying to come into the world. And I did all these Averos and I built all these walls. And now they're blocking my connection from Hashem. But you know what else you could do? You know what else you could do to have a connection with Hashem? Just get out of that whole system. Again, if you're looking at this system, you see the sun, right? Again, in the mashal, that's a Kodesh Baruch Hu's light shining down, and there's a wall that's blocking, and you're on the other side of the wall. So guess what? Step outside that whole box, go above the sun, go beyond the whole thing, and then the Averus, the walls that are there, it doesn't matter. I'm not playing by those rules anymore. I'm not operating within that framework anymore. Right? Again, let's read the words. V'chein mamish l'mata b'nefesh elokis shabadam. Shuv ein avonoseichem avdilim. You're going to a place beyond time, beyond space, beyond any particular action. As the pasuk says, v'nakei minakehu l'shavim lirchots ulinkos nafsho milavushim hatzoim hei machitzonim. To cleanse oneself entirely from any of the filth of the chitzonim, of the sitra achra, any connection that you had to that dungeon of the sitra achra, it's all been washed away, it's all been cleansed away. It's as if it never happened. Kamasha Kosovo, like the Gemara says, that the Averas are malafafta, that the Averas surrounds a person and envelops a person. But guess what? If you can break out of that mold and go above and beyond it, then you're not threatened by it anymore. Okay? Ad Khan, the Baal HaTanya's description of Tshuva Tata. Ad Khan, Tshuva Tata. Yes?
So what you're saying, the way to get above that is you can use it often to get out of the box?
Yes.
Just by saying it, or
by having this real Rachmanis, right? I'm happy you said it like that. The Chofetz Chaim gives a famous mashal. Yeah, because the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe that if there's a problem, here are the Yud Yom Midos Shel Rachamim, and this is your ticket to fix everything. And all you have to do, Yasu Lefanei Kaseder Hazeh, and all your problems will be gone. So Chofetz Chaim gives a mashal. You caught it? Chofetz Chaim gives a mashal. He says, imagine a person who takes a job. And his boss gives him a big list of things to do. His boss says, you'll take care of this list? Don't worry, boss, I got it. Boss comes back a few hours later. He sees he hasn't done anything. So he says, what are you doing? So he says, no, don't worry. He said, I've been sitting here for... What have I been doing? I've been sitting here for the last 2 hours reading the list over and over and over and over. So the boss says, I didn't give you the list to read. I gave you the list to do. So the Chofetz Chaim said, that's the pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara says, the Yud Gil Milas Sharachim are not something that we say. What's the lashon of the Gemara? I said it quickly because I didn't want you to catch it the first time. Yasu Lafanai Kaseder Hazeh. Do these things. So if you have Rachmanis, that's exactly the Baal HaTanya's point. If you have Rachmanis on yourself and on the spark within, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have Rachmanis on you. He'll allow for the Yud Gil Milas Sharachim to be poel. But it starts with a person having that Rachmanis and wanting to put the hay back in place. And then we can begin to reconnect all the pieces and even awaken this nekuda of Ratzon HaElyon. Okay? Now, let's go weiter, because there's a lot to see here. There's beautiful things to see here. Okay? That was just Bederach HaKdama. Now here's where our learning today, you know, again, Nachas Shom, to take away from what we saw so far. But what we're going to see now is unbelievable. U'me'achar sheruach avra v'titaharem. The pasuk says in Iyuv, Ruach avra v'titaharem. Now that a person has begun this process, you've reconnected the hay, you've started to clean up, right? You started to work on restoring things to the way that they're supposed to be, and you've removed the cloud, so to speak. A ruach of tara, a ruach of holiness has removed those clouds that separate you from Hashem. Things have reconnected. So now we can talk about tshuva ilah. What is tshuva ilah? Take a look. Azai tuchel nafsham lashuv ad Hashem baruchu, ad havaya baruchu, mamish, ulalos mala mala limikora, uledavka bo yisbarach b'yichud nifla. Now, if we don't know what we're talking about, we have not seen that the Baal HaTanya said anything different than we've been saying all along. But he's saying completely different than what we've been saying until now. The key words again, Lashuv ad Hashem baruch hu mamish, to return to Hashem mamish, And like he said in the line right after that, "Ladavka bo yisbarach biyichud nifla," and to attach yourself to him with the deepest degree of attachment. What on earth does that mean? I thought we are attached to him already. I thought we reconnected. What more can we connect? Yod Hei Vav Hei is in place. It's so much in place that it's already drawing on the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim, as represented by the point on top of the Yud, the Ratzon HaElyon. Everything's in place. What more is there to do? What does it mean? L'davka bo b'yichud nifla. What's this yichud nifla that's taking place? Kemo shahayisim yuchedes bo yisbarach b'tachlis ha'yichud b'terem shenafcha beruach piv yisbarach leireid lemata u'lislabish, turn the page, beguf ha'adam. We spoke about HaKadosh Baruch Hu blowing a spirit of life into us. And we spoke about that ki'ilu, that's the greatest thing of all, and it is. V'yipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, man denafech mitoche nafach, that Hashem blows from within. He's giving over His inner essence to us. Right? And we said it's not just the breath as it exists, as it emanates from His lips, but it's the breath coming from mamish within, kiviyachol. That it's within HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the pnimius of His chiyus is being given to us. What more is there than that? You know what there is? There's something more than that. There is something more than that. Because there's the breath as it emerges from the lips. There's the breath once it's been drawn, so to speak, within, and begins to emerge from within. But then there's the breath before it even is independent from the one who's breathing, the one who's blowing. Right. Once a person goes like this, now, right? You've sort of like loaded the breath. It's identifiable, right? It's mamish in the depths of a person, but it's its own thing. And you're about to see how it's going to emerge and mamish become its own thing. But then there's that breath of life before it even takes on any form, completely absorbed within its source. Let's read the words again. Two lines from the bottom, again, on the previous page. Go back a second. Kemo shahaysam yuchedes bo yisbarach b'tachlis hayichud, the way that it existed with complete unification, b'tachlis, complete unification. Not on the lips, not even in the kishkas, mamish, before it was even an identifiable separate entity on any level. B'terem shenafcha beruach piv yisbarach, before it ever had the possibility of emerging. Before the neshama, right? The neshama, even after it's in my body, is still attached to Hashem. But how much more was it attached to Hashem, right? When it wasn't in my body, when it was actually attached to Hashem. Yeah? Look what he writes in the parentheses. Ukamo al derech mashal ba'adam hanofeach beruach piv. Like the person, again, who's blowing a breath through his lips. B'terem sheyotze haruch mipiv, hu miyuchad b'nafsho. What he's saying is there's two stages of the breath. There is the breath as it exists after the neficha, the poel, after the breath has been drawn, right? After the breath has taken place. But then there's the breath before it is blown, kodem haneficha, prior to the breathing, where that breath or that ruach doesn't have its own metzias. It cannot separate. It's not in position to emerge. It's not emerging. It's not existing within something else while still maintaining a connection, like the Yaakov Chavel Nachalas of the chain. But it's mamish going back to the point that there wasn't A and B. There was just A. It wasn't one and two. There was just one. So Tshuva Ilah is not about being a Jew who's entirely connected to Hashem. That's Tshuva Tata. Let's say it like this. Tshuva Tata is a Jew who is perfectly connected to Hashem. Yaakov Chevel Nachalaso. Perfectly connected. The letters are all lined up. The strings are not cut. Going back to all of our mashalim from the last 2 weeks. Tshuva Ilah says that there is no me. Complete bittul. Complete bittul. Not that there is an elevated yesh, an elevated something, a perfected something, but there's literally nothing. There is no you. There's no independent you. That you've mamish returned to Hashem, again using his lashonos, and you've been davka bo yisbarach b'yichud nifla. Completely reattached to Hashem. You hear what we're saying here? You could be a perfect tzaddik who's only holding by tshuva tata. That means you're perfectly connected to Hashem, but there's still you. There's still an inyan of you. There's a metzias of you. That's not the highest level. Listen to a lashon from the Tanya in Perek Lamed Hei. In the first section of the Tanya, right? Yigaris HaTshuva, we call the third section of the Tanya. Listen to the Lashon of the Tanya in Perek Lamed Hei. Nishmas ha'odim, afilu hu tzadik gamur, eina b'teila b'metzias legamri. You could be a perfect tzadik, but yet you're still an independent entity. You're not batel b'metzias legamri. You still exist. There's still a perception of self, a very holy self, a very connected self, a self that deeply draws on the source of life, Hashem. But there's still a you. And like we said the other day, the lashon from the Tanya, like we said the other day, the lashon of the Tanya in the sixth parak, that the very nature of sitra achra is a davar nifrad bifnei atzma. So we think of the davar nifrad bifnei atzmo, a thing that is detached and living against God. No, no, no. You could be something, right, that is completely attached to God, but there's still some tiny degree of independence. Some degree of yesh, that I exist. And the goal of tshuva ilah is to mevatel the yesh completely and to come back to a place of ayin. That there's no breath that's emerging from the depths of Hashem's being. Right? That there's no Yaakov Chaval Nachalas, so a strong chain attaching me to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through all the Olamos and all the Spheros. But there's just HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To be Davok B'yichud Nifla. To mamish, reconnect yourself to Hashem, that there is no you. And this is the tshuva of the tzaddikim. This is exactly what we asked at the beginning. How could a tzaddik be expected to do tshuva? He doesn't have averos. You wonder, you see tzaddikim sometimes. The Chafetz Chaim did a lot more tshuva than us, but he had a lot less averos than us. What's the pshat? The pshat is the tzaddik understands that even if I'm completely connected to Hashem, but again, there's still an entity called me. And even if that me lives and breathes every second of its life, as a shliach of Hashem, as an extension of Hashem, as deeply connected to Hashem, and every move I make brings kavod to Hashem, but there's still a slight notion of a davar nifrad, of a me. Yeah.
This goes back to the idea that tshuva and kapara are two different.
Right, for sure. This totally goes back to the original idea that tshuva and kapara are very, very different things. Because again, this person needs no kapara whatsoever. He has a perfectly clean slate, not a clean slate, he has tons of mitzvos. And yet, the fact that he has tons of mitzvos already is in the slightest, right, in the slightest way, a shortcoming. That there's a notion of a he. And this is what the Baal Tanya says, Vizohi tshuva shlema. Vizohi tshuva shlema. This is complete tshuva, right after the parentheses, the third line. Zohi tshuva shlema. This is tshuva shlema. This is higher level tshuva. Okay? Now the Lubavitcher Rebbe pointed out once that if you think about it, we're saying the tshuva shlema. What's tshuva shlema? Right? What's tshuva shlema? Let's just be clear for a second. What's tshuva shlema? You're saying tshuva ilah is tshuva shlema. Not really. Tshuva tata with tshuva ilah is tshuva shlema. Right? If I just have tshuva ilah, if I'm just really talking about the higher level hay, and I've never really worked on the lower level hay, right? So that's not tshuva shlema. Now you'll say, but I don't want to work at the lower level hay, is what I work on when I'm disconnected and I'm trying to reconnect. But there's something to working on that. Yeah? That part of the shlemus of the tshuva, part of the way that I fixed the averos that I did, is by striving for this higher level. And we're touching a little bit on this idea that the Baal Tshuva can actually be greater than the Tzaddik in a certain way, because he has the ability to work on the lower hay and use that as a platform to the higher hay. Okay, fine. But let's leave that point. Zohi Tshuva Shlema. Okay? V'hinei. Let's read inside. Bechinas Yichud Zo V'tshuva Zo Hi Bechinas Tshuva Ila. This Yichud, this degree of tshuva, complete bittul to Hashem, when yesh becomes ayin, he says that is what we call tshuva ilah, shela achar tshuva tata. That after I've reconnected, and after I've cleaned up my averos, and now everything seems to be in place. What more am I working on? The answer is, I'm trying to negate myself entirely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm trying to not only do what Tshuva Tata. Let's go back to the Sfiros for a second, just to make this a little clear. In the Sfiros, what was Yud? What Sfira corresponds to Yud? Chachma. What Sfira corresponded to Hay? Bina. What corresponded to Vav, the next six? And then the final Hay is Malchus. So when we talk about the two Hays, we're talking about Bina and Malchus. When we talk about, let's write this down. When we talk about Tshuva Tata, lower level Hay, the final Hay of Hashem's name, we're talking about Malchus. When we talk about higher level Tshuva, the first Hay of Hashem's name, we're talking about Bina. Now you have to get this piece down. If you're less familiar with Sfiros and things like this, you're like getting hesitant if I should even write this down, because am I going to get this? You're going to get this. So write it down. Lower level tshuva, the final Hay of Hashem's name is Malchus. And higher level tshuva, right, the higher level Hay, the letter Hay, is what? Is Bina. Tshuva Tata comes from a recognition of Malchus, or what we like to call Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. I took Hashem and I dragged him in the dirt, Kiviyachol. I took the king and I put him in chains. I took the light of the sun and I blocked it out of my window with walls. Right? All of that rejection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashpa in this world is a failure to be makabel ol malchus shemayim. It's a disrespect for the malchus, the final hay of Hashem's name, malchus, tshuva tata. So the way to do lower level tshuva is kabbalas ol malchus shemayim. To become awakened, aware, mindful once again of what I've done, cheshbon nefesh, das, reconnect, das his kashrus, reconnect, put the hay back into place. Crown the king once again, set the king free from the dungeon. That's lower level tshuva. That's Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim that he referenced and alluded to in Parak Zayin, the beginning of Parak Zayin. Okay? That's why Kriya Shema Sha'al Hamita is a good time to work on this. Because as I end my day with that final declaration of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, right, as I, so to speak, die, sleep is the 60th of death, I'm saying that my dying wish is that Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch Le'olvav. That's Malchus. That's the lower level tshuva. Okay? But now we're starting to talk about higher level tshuva, which we call Bina. The higher level Hay. Right? The Hay that comes after the Yud. Yud Hay. Bina. Higher level tshuva. What does that mean? Bittul to Hashem. Okay? So let's explain it like this. The Sfiros we know are divided into two sections. The Sfiros are divided into two sections. There's the top three and there's the lower seven. We refer to the top three, right? Whether it's Keser Chachma Bina or Chabad, Chachma Bina Das, we refer to the top three Sfiros, yeah? We refer to them as the Mochin, or as Seicha, intellectual attributes of Hashem. Those are the top three. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and Malchus. These are referred to not as Mochen or Seichel, intellectual attributes, Chachma, Bina, Das, that's all taking place, so to speak, in the mind. We refer to the lower Sfiros as Midos. Maybe translated as emotions, emotional attributes. Okay? Mochen and Midos. So that means the higher level hay, right, represented by Bina, the higher level hay represented by Bina, Tshuva Ilah, Bina, higher level Tshuva Ilah, has to do with Mochin, has to do with the Seichel. Lower level hay, which is Malchus, right, Tshuva Tata, lower level Tshuva, is in the world of the emotions. Is in the world of the Midos. Okay? What's the difference between Mochin and Midos? Let's add another Let's add another synonym. Another word that's associated with this. When we're talking in the realm of mochin, we're in the world of bittel, of ayin. When we're in the world of the emotions, the midos, we're in the world of yesh. Ayin means nothing, nothingness, negation, bittel. When we talk in the world of the midos, emotions, chesed, gvura, teferes, love, fear, right? Ava and yira, chesed and gvura, pachad, yeah? To go outward, to pull inward, all of that's taking place, there's things happening. That's the world of yesh. That's the world of something. Okay? Now, which of these worlds includes others and which does not include others? So it's obvious, ayin means nothing and yesh means something. But think about it in the following fashion. This is how it's explained in Sefer Chasidus. Think about it like this. In the world of chachma, bina, das, right? When a person wants to think, the most dangerous thing when it comes to thinking is others. A person who sits on a basin and has to use his mind to rule on a dispute, the worst thing that can happen to him, the Torah warns that shochad, that bribery, will blind what? The Einei Tzaddik, the eyes of the Tzaddik. Right? When we talk about the eyes, we're talking about the Ein Shebarosh. Yeah? A Chacham is Einav Barosho. In the world of Chachma, Bina, and Das, in that world of the Mochin, we want to block out all other ideas, all other opinions. We want to block out all other forces, all other matters. We want to have a certain purity in that world. This world, in the lower world, in the world of Yesh, in the world of Chesed, Gvura, Teferes, in the world of the Midos, it dafka demands relationships. Sometimes the relationship is one where I'm trying to get more involved, Chesed. Sometimes it's a relationship where I'm recoiling, Gvura. Sometimes it's Netzach, I'm being forceful upon another. Sometimes it's Hod, I'm withdrawing from another. But it's all about me and another. It's a world of others. Okay? So now, coming back to put this into the context of tshuva, we understand very well. In lower level tshuva, in Malchus, in the final Hay of Hashem's name, right? Tshuva means, how do I interact with others? How do I interact with something that exists, with a yesh? How do I become I, the independent I, me, that exists? How do I become a tzaddik? How do I do a good job of existing? How do I do a good job of existing? As a human being who believes that he exists, how do I do a good job, right, as a human being who exists? But higher level tshuva, I'm trying to get back into the world of ayin. I don't want to exist anymore. I don't want to live with my perception. I don't want to dwell in the world of yesh, where my subjective experience... For my subjective experience matters. The world of yesh is subjective. I exist. There's me. But I want to get back to the world of ayin. I want to get to the objective reality of einon milvado. There's nothing but Hashem. Ayin. There is nothing else. In the world of yesh, in my subjective reality, things exist. This eraser exists. My body exists. This watch exists. Right? And I have to do a good job in that realm. In the lower realm, in the final hay, I have to make sure that I'm keeping it together. But then there's the possibility of leaving the world of midos, of emotions, of experience, my own subjective reality, and going to the higher objective reality. That's what tshuva ilah is. I go back to that world of pure seichel, pure intellect, as opposed to what? The hergish ha'adam, the way that I experience things. I want to just say, for those who are more philosophically inclined, there's a whole study in philosophy called phenomenology. Phenomenology is the study of how things appear, right? The logi part at the end of any Right? Logos means the thought. The study of. The study of phenomena means what? The study of how things appear to me. How do I feel? Do I feel Ava? Do I feel Yira? Do I feel Chesed? Do I feel Gvura? Right? That's a world that acknowledges that I exist and our feelings, and I try to control them, I try to use them in the right way. There's a Metzias Ha'adam. There's a person. Okay? But then, there's an objective reality that's above that. There's an objective reality, which is not how do I perceive it. Phenomenology, that world of philosophy came along to say, the only thing that we can know, those who were here when Rabbi Shmuel Braun spoke last year, this might sound a little familiar, the only thing we can truly know is how we experience things. We can only know through our senses, through our perception, how things are. Right? But we can't know, we can't, with our senses, we can't come to any conclusions, we can't know for sure what the objective reality is. No one in this room, philosophy says that no one in this room can prove absolutely that you exist. You can't prove that you exist. Now, we all believe that we exist, unless we're like up too late on a Friday night in one of those long conversations and like you're starting to really think maybe I don't exist. Okay, but like on a normal day when you're eating your pizza, you know that you exist. Yeah? So we know that we exist. I think, therefore I am. Yeah? I know that I exist. Okay? But philosophy says, no, you don't know that you exist. You think you exist, your perception tells you, your life experience, your feelings gives you the impression that you exist. Right? Phenomenology, things as it appears, but you don't know, you can't speak objectively about the noumena, the thing as it is. For those who were here last year when we learned the Kuntres in Yonah Shel Torah HaChasidus, right? And the way that Rabbi Braun introduced it when he gave us that excellent shiur, he said it's the difference between what Chasidus does versus what Chasidus is. Right? What something does versus what something is. This is the world of what something does. How do I feel? I feel Ava, I feel Yira. I feel confident, I feel not confident. Regesh, the Metzias Ha'adam, that I exist and I have feelings and there's a reality that I perceive. But then there's a higher Metzias of what it is in Yano Shel Davar. What it is, Be'etzem. And what it is, Be'etzem, is Einod Novada. To be able to be mavata oneself completely, to come to tshuva ilah, to take the neshama back to its essence, which is to put it back into a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that it's not an independent entity, that it doesn't exist on its own. Okay? Now, if you're saying, like, I'm not interested in philosophy, I don't know what any of this is about, so just think for a second, just think about this chiddush of Immanuel Kant, who lived at the same time as the Baal Shem Tov and the Vilna Gaon, just to put it in context. Yeah? Immanuel Kant basically came to the following simple conclusion, right? That in terms of the objective world, in terms of the noumena, not the phenomena as we perceive it, but the noumena, the essence of things, yeah? The noumenal world may exist, but it is completely unknowable through the human sensation. Is that good or bad for God?
Great.
It's good and bad for God. It's potentially bad because it means that absolutely, that logic says you cannot prove God. But it's good for God because what Immanuel Kant says is that there's something called emuna, right? That there's an objective reality. At some point, you're going to have to jump off that diving board and hope that you land in Hashem's hands. Okay? So we have mochen, we have midos, we have ayin, we have yesh. We have man as he exists, lower level tshuva, the metzias ha'adam, and then we have this higher level. Now, what do we do with all of this? So let's go one step weiter. Okay? Ukemosh, Kasu Bazar, Kadosh Barai, Mehem, the Parshas Nasam. Look inside. We're ready for the punchline. And the punchline, by the way, is Night Seder. The punchline is learn more Torah. Take a look. The Zohar says in Parshas Naso, Dichuva ilah, he disasek ba'oraisa b'dechilu urechimu d'kutshabrichu. Tshuva ilah is Torah study. That a person is osek ba'oraisa with Ava, with Yira, but a person has to get back to limud Torah. What's the difference between Torah and mitzvos? The difference between Torah and mitzvahs is the following. Which of these worlds is Torah? Which of these worlds is mitzvahs? Ayin is Torah. The world of bittul, the world of complete, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Torah. And the world of yesh, the world of the midos, of my emotional experience, is mitzvahs. Why? Because a mitzvah means that there's someone who's commanding someone else. There's an other. There's Hashem commanding you to do something or to not do something. Right? Tzavsa, in the language of the Gemara, means companionship. A mitzvah means that there's someone commanding and there's someone on the receiving end. There's a connection that's being formed. There are two entities that can be deeply connected. They should be deeply connected. That's what a mitzvah does. It connects the independent, subjective reality that I exist to Hashem. It keeps me connected. Yaakov Chevel Nachalaso. That's mitzvahs. Torah doesn't need a world. Torah doesn't need a man. Torah doesn't need anything. Torah, Chazal say, was Kadma La'olam. Torah preceded the world. Torah preceded the world. What does that mean? That means Torah is from that world of Ayin. It doesn't require the mitzias of a person, and it doesn't require the mitzias of the world. So therefore, if I want to achieve tshuva ilah, I need Torah. But chevra, and here's the final step, Torah can also be studied in one of two ways. I can exist and I can choose to study Torah. I learn Torah. I understand it. I try to grasp it. I try to connect to it. But then there's the higher level when what? When I just become one with it. Where it's not me who understands Torah. Right? That I become Torah. That a person becomes Torah. That I'm avat myself completely to Torah. That I put my neshama back into the shorish of the neshama. That there's no independent me. That I became Torah. There's not me, a great Talmud Chacham. There's just Torah, and I am Torah. I become Torah. If you look in the Magid Meisharim, you know what the Magid Meisharim is? What's the Magid Meisharim? It's Rav Yosef Kairos' sefer that he recorded the conversations that he had with his Magid, a Malach, that used to come and teach him. So the Magid Meisharim says at the beginning of Vayikra, Rav Yosef Kairo says, the Malach says to Rav Yosef Kairo, right, about the level of learning that he's achieved, Ani ha-Mishnah ha-Midaberes b'ficha. I am the Mishnah, I have become the Mishnah that you are speaking. Where you become Torah. Where something is Torah. It's not that I exist and I know a lot of Torah. You remember the line, for those of us who've been around long enough, we're learning together in Sichos Aran. Again, it's a line that's found in Pnimiyas HaTorah, it's found in early philosophical works of the non-Jewish world, obviously borrowing from Torah. Tachlis HaYidiyah, the purpose of knowing is what? Is not to know. Because if I know, that means that there's me and I know something. The highest level is to what? Is to just jump into Torah and to just become it. To not be independent from it. That's tshuva ilah. So therefore, concludes the Baal HaTanya. A person who's striving for tshuva ilah, he doesn't want to be in the world of only mitzvos, where there's a God who commands him. He wants to come to tshuva ilah, which is Torah. Which is why, for those averos that the Zohar says one can't do tshuva for, many sfarim say, the thing that you can't do tshuva tata, but you can do tshuva ilah. Which means you can learn Torah. If you learn Torah, then you're kadma la'olam, you reset the clock. There is no you. How can I be punished for my averos if there's no me? How can Hashem be upset with me if there's no me? If there's a me, then I'm nervous. Uh-oh, how does Hashem feel towards me? But if I negate the me entirely, I don't have to worry about getting punished. I don't have to worry about getting in trouble. There is no me. Right? Hashem can't point to that me and say, oh, look, you did these averos. Who's you? You doesn't exist anymore. Tshuva ilah. I've redefined myself. I became Torah. Okay? I know there's a lot of questions. Give me 2 more seconds. Let's just read the last line. So he says again, the Zohar tells us, Tshuva ilah, he is asik bo reitza b'dechila rachimu, t'kut shabrichu v'chul. U'malas bali tshuva al tzadikim gemurim b'zehi. And this is somewhat the advantage, the secret of that Gemara in Brachos Lamed Daled, the advantage that what? The Baal Tshuva has over the Tzadik Gemur. Why? What's the advantage? Because the Zohar writes in Chai Sara, the Inan Mashre Alayhu, Bira'usa de Liba Yatir, Uvechela Sagi, Liskarva Lamalka. The Baal Tshuva comes and is drawn towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Ra'usa Deliba Yatir, with great heart, with great feelings of Ava, Uvechela Sagi, and with tremendous, Sagi means a lot of Chela, B'dechilu Urechimu, with Yira, with a lot of trepidation, Liskarva Lamalka. It's why the Baal Tshuva, when he hears that bit of Torah for the first time, he mamish is going out of his kalim. He can't exist. Well, the guy who's been learning his whole life says, yeah, what do you mean? There's a lot of Torah like this. The Baal Tshuva is hearing this idea. He's tasting Torah for the first time. He's mamish. He's mevatel himself completely to it. Everything about him, he's like, he's become it. He's obsessed with that idea. And the guy who's been learning is like, oh, well, you know, look at this guy. He's such a Baal Tshuva. It's as if like he never knew this stuff existed before. And you, the person who's been learning for a long time, you got used to it. And a little bit of gaiva set in. And gaiva means that you've become a dover nifrad. So you're not the Torah anymore. There's you, and you learn Torah. And you might learn a lot of Torah. But the Baal Tshuva, when he hears that, when he tastes that bit of Torah, he becomes so swallowed up by it that it becomes him. And in that sense, he can achieve something even greater than the Tzadik Gamor. He has an easier time. His thirstiness, his ratzon, going back to the point on top of the yod, right? His ratzon ilah is so elevated. He's so thirsty for Torah that any bit of Torah, he gets totally swallowed up by it. And in that sense, he achieves a tshuva ilah more readily than the person who a little bit is, you know, a little more standoffish. That he feels like, I exist and I know a lot of Torah and I do a lot of mitzvos. But again, that's still saying that I exist. That's still saying that I'm seeing things through what? Through my subjective experience, and I've not yet jumped into that great ocean of kuchabrichon b'mavatulisov, so to speak, returning the drop to the ocean again, paraphrasing a mashal that we used last year. Okay. Okay, so let's stop here. Let's hear some questions and comments. Yes.
Two questions. I'm a bit confused. Like, what does it exactly mean?